Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I come up here laughing at the enemy. I came in here a little bit taller and had a little shoe snafu. So I came in a little bit taller. So, but the devil is a liar. He is a liar. He tried to steal my joy, but he lost again. Glory. I can just laugh about it. Glory. Hallelujah. Just laugh about it. I got funds to go buy another pair of shoes. If y'all can see Jesse's face right about now. Glory to God. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for laughter. Hallelujah. We thank you for joy, your joy. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Your joy is our strength, Father God. And right now, Father, we bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against us this evening, Father God. And we loose your peace. We loose your power, Father God. Have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, come on in. Have your way. Sit down among us. Have your way. Have your way. All of you, Father, and none of me. I'm a willing vessel. You speak through me. You know what you want your people and myself to hear. And Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Just plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Plead the blood of Jesus over us and over you, Facebook family. We just plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. All is well. All is well. Well, as Deborah indicated, the title of my message is, what are you tolerating in your thoughts? What are we tolerating in our thoughts? What am I tolerating in my thoughts? What are we tolerating? What are we putting up with? 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. I'm reading a few different versions of this because it's just awesome. The King James Version. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Names of God Version says, and all their, this is my favorite, and all their intellectual arrogance that oppose the knowledge of God, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. The Passion Translation, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Whew, deceptive fantasy. I never thought about that, but that's what the enemy has, deceptive fantasies. He really, truly do. He tried to deceive us, throwing these little things at us, but it's his deceptive fantasies. Glory to God. Amen. The Voice Version says, we are demolishing arguments and ideas, every high and mighty philosophy that pits itself against the knowledge of the one true God. Amen. We are taking prisoners of every thought, every emotion, and subduing them into the obedience to the Anointed One. Those are some great versions of that scripture where you can relate to it and just truly understand it. Some awesome translations of it. And it's good, and pastors say this, but it's good to read a scripture in different versions. It's okay, Christians. It's really okay. It's to gain a better understanding of God's word. Because you may not can understand the arts and the vowels and what have you. You know, that's not how we talk nowadays. The King James Version is awesome. Don't get me wrong. But there's other versions to give us a better understanding where we can get some revelation knowledge of God's word. He allowed it. These other translations. Use wisdom. we need to really subdue, which is bring into submission or control, make an end to, or take dominion of every thought that is contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
When we know that it's popping in our minds, we got to subdue it at that moment in time. And these thoughts are truly trespassing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Because you're a child of God. Your mind has been renewed. You're a child of God. So it is truly trespassing if it's not God. Do not give these thoughts permission to invade your thoughts. Kick them out.
Amen.
Kick them out with the word, the promises of God. Kick them out. Kick them out. Believe what God has told us. Kick out those negative thoughts, that doubting. What are we tolerating in our thought process? When we step into doubt, we are truly not thinking as a Christian, as a child of God, as a man and a woman of God. We truly are not. This can lead us to worry, which lead us to not trusting God or believing what he has said in his word. We're Christians. We're Christians. We are Christ followers. We should believe God at his word, what he has said in his word. God is not on our time clock. So if that's what's causing you to shake a little bit in your faith, get over it, because he is not on your time clock. He is not on our time. His timing is perfect. His time, if you think back to a situation, circumstance, issue that you may have faced, and you thought, oh my gosh, this is not going to work out. This is not going to work out. And God showed up right on time. Glory to his name. His timing is perfect when we're faced with different things. And when our prayers manifest, his timing is perfect. It is perfect. And as Pastor Rock had stated in his message, Carefree, a few Sundays ago, he stated, do not allow pressure to dictate how things will go.
Oh, amen.
And that's what we do at times, because we've prayed for something and it hasn't manifested yet. It may have been a day. It may have been 2 hours. It may have been a week. It may have been a month. It may have been a year. But if you pray God's word, you're standing on God's word, you got to believe. You've got to believe. We can't allow the pressure of something to dictate how we do things. Because when you feel pressure, that's the enemy. Because God is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. When you feel pressure with anything, that's the enemy. If we are worrying and doubting, God cannot work. We are tying his hands up literally. The angels are stopping when we step into that realm of doubt and worry. They've stopped. And what they were in the process of doing for us, and when our prayers are being manifested, they've stopped. They've stopped. We're down on our knees. We're praying, washing dishes, and we're praying and we're believing, and then we allow little thoughts to creep in our minds.
That's right.
And then the angels in the process of work, okay, let me go on and get my girl this. Let me get her this. And then you let the doubt and the worry not just creep in there, but stay there, settle up, make a bed. They're going to put their clothes in the closet and everything.
Amen.
And the angels have stopped. God's hands are tied at that point. So that's why we are not seeing our prayers manifested. Because we've allowed those thoughts, that doubt, that God is not really going to do what he said that he will do, creep up and make space. Then took a whole bedroom in our home, in our minds. Got to kick them out. We've got to kick it out. Our soulish part is working at that point, and not our spirit man is working. When we start worrying and doubting, we don't make God decisions, much less good decisions. We truly don't, because we're not in our right mind, honestly. We are truly not in our right mind. When we're worrying and when we're doubting, we are not in our right minds. As it states in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I love that scripture. I love that scripture. He has given us a sound mind and power, not fear. a sound mind, so we can take those thoughts captive. We can subdue them. We can put an end to them, kick them out. We have the power to do that. And as Kenneth E. Hagin stated in his book that I've been, my messages have been based on for the past few months, when what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost, he stated, we need to get out our mind and on the answer. We need to get out of our mind, our thoughts process, and on the answer. God and his word is the answer. What does his word say about the situation? What does his word say about the circumstance? What does his word say about this particular issue that you're facing right now? God's word is the answer. Get our mind off the stuff and get it focused on God. As Pastor Rock said, that focus the loop. That focus the loop. Focus on his word. We can find a scripture to combat anything, to use to combat anything that we are faced with. There's a scripture for it.
That's right.
There is a scripture for it. And if you don't know, ask somebody. Google it. Google it. Scriptures on blah, 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 blah. Scriptures on eating. Whatever. You can find it in God's word. He's covered everything.
Amen.
He has not left anything out. He has not left anything out that we need. He hasn't left anything out. He truly can. He covers it. We need to become one with God, with the word of God. When we open our mouths, the word of God needs to come out.
Amen.
Not doubt. So that's, we have to put it in our heart. So out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Abundance means overflow. So your heart overflowing with something. What are you putting in there? It's overflowing with something. And also, as Kenneth E. Hagin stated in his book, we need to eradicate. I like that. Uproot, remove any thought, feeling, impression, dream, vision, image, suggestion that do not grow or contribute to our faith. Ask ourselves, is it adding value with my faith walk, my life, this situation, this circumstance, this issue? Is it adding value? Is it truly adding value? I know at work when we're going through different processes and trying to weave out stuff that we may have been doing the old way, this is how we used to do it. Sometimes how you used to do it just don't work anymore. It just don't add value. It's a non-value add. So, is it a non-value add? Is it adding value? Anything that is contrary to the word and the promises of God is a lie.
That's right.
Pluck it, eradicate it. Call the exterminator, which is the word of God.
Amen.
Get it out. Good. You do not want it to take root. You do not. You do not want it to take root. And Kenneth E. Hagin gave an example in his book about a friend of his that was a minister, and he had built up a church that he had founded and pastored for about 25 years. Then at the age of 50, he was going to quit work because of a physical deficiency. And he was a full gospel minister, okay? Let's get that. He was a minister and full gospel, believe the word. But he awoke one morning and he saw someone in his room in shining apparel. He thought it was Jesus. This person said, "It is not my will to heal you." He saw a vision. It took thought.
Uh-huh.
That's a lie.
Uh-huh.
Because God has healed us.
Uh-huh.
His word says it.
Uh-huh.
He said, if Jesus appeared to you in a vision and said that it was not his will to heal you, he would be making himself out to be a liar.
That's right. That's good.
It's not true.
That's good.
It was the devil that brought that vision to his minister friend, and he accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
He accepted it because it was shining. And it was a vision and shining and light. It looked like a, you know. There you go. It was, Deborah. It was What did it say up here? A deceptive fantasy that lied to him, that it was not God's will for him to be healed. And that is a lie. That is not one of those prayers of if it's your will that I taught last time. That is a promise of God to be healed. If it's your will, is if you want to go on a missions trip somewhere, or if you want to buy a particular house or a car, or even marry somebody, that's if it's your will. But healing, that's not God. It is God's will for us to be healed. We don't have to say if it's your will. It is his will for us to be healed. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. But he believed that that image, that vision that he saw, that deceptive fantasy. He believed it. He truly believed that. That was not God. That was not Jesus. That was an evil spirit.
That's right.
It was an evil spirit. And it went against the word of God. And we have a spirit of discernment, y'all. We need to tap into it. We reason that spirit of discernment away.
That's right.
So the voice of that spirit of discernment gets lighter and lighter. It gets quieter and quieter where you can't hear it because you've reasoned it away so many times. You don't even recognize it. We don't even recognize it at times. But we have that. Sift out anything in our thoughts that doesn't align with the word of God. As I stated, the enemy brought that vision to him. The enemy brought that vision to him. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the New Living Translation. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious lights of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. We don't want to be like the world, y'all, uh-huh. Where our minds are blinded.
That's right.
We do not want to be like the world. We're set apart. We're peculiar people. And I like it.
Amen.
I'm different, and it's okay. We're different, and it's okay. The Passion Version says, "For their minds have been blinded by the god of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the dayspring light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the divine image of God." The enemy will try. He's persistent and determined. He knows who he is, unlike us at times. He's very persistent. He's very determined. He stay on the job. We don't stay on our knees. We don't. We forget who we are.
That's right.
He also knows he has a lease that is about to expire.
Yes, he does.
We need to understand he has a lease that is about to expire.
That's right. That's right.
We need to remember this. We need to remember that his time is running out, and he knows his time is drawing close. Tick tock, enemy. Tick talk. Your time is drawing near. It's drawing near. He knows his time is about to expire. So he's trying to flood our minds with all this junk.
Amen. That's right.
To get us off track.
That's right.
Because we're going to have to be focused in the days coming. Mm-hmm. In the time we're in now, actually.
That's right.
We've got to be focused. We've got to be grounded in the word. We've got to know our word to combat all these things that's coming at us from all different directions. And people,
uh-huh.
People, Christian folks at times, they don't realize they're being used at times.
Uh-huh.
And we gotta talk to our brother and our sister in Christ. Say, hey, you being used, you tripping. You being used. We need to watch the people we hang around. The things we watch and listen to can bring on these thoughts, these
uh-huh.
visions, these impressions. You know, newsflash, some people are very negative, just in case you didn't know. And everything on the internet is not true.
That's right.
This feeds our spirit. Therefore, it's influencing our thought life. We have to be careful. What are we allowing to tolerate
Amen.
Us? What are we tolerating in our thought life? Therefore, that's impacting our faith and causing doubt, unbelief, and thinking God has not answered our prayers. If our prayers are in alignment with his word, He's going to answer them. We just got to believe. We got to stop tying his hands. We got to stop stopping our angels in their steps as they're doing what God has told them to do for us based on our prayers. But then doubt, unbelief steps in and just stops them. Psalms 119:15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Three scriptures that's basically saying the same thing. Meditating on God's word, meditating on his law, his word, what he has said. Meditate on that, not on these things of the world. Luke 10:17-19. The 72 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Let me stop right there. Even the demons are subject to us in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Even the demons are subject to us, Christians, in Jesus' name. We have dominion, Christians. Yes, in the garden, Adam gave it up to the enemy. And the enemy, he is the God of this world. As I stated in the scripture, he is. He's the God of this world. But once we give our life to Christ, and step into that, we are no longer of this world.
That's right. That's right.
We have our dominion back. Take your rightful place, Christians. We need to take our rightful place. We have dominion. Okay, let me finish. That was in Luke 10:17-19. And he said to them, Jesus, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That was pretty fast.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I never thought about that.
That's good.
He fell like that.
That's right.
God kicked him out.
That's right. That's right.
These thoughts need to fall like Satan did from heaven, like lightning. When these thoughts of doubt and unbelief tries to get in our minds, we need to cast them out. We need to cast them down. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. This is faith. This is believing. This is trusting. They all go together. You can't have one without the other. Faith, belief, and trust. It goes together. That's a powerful verses. Powerful verses. Whew, okay. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in your spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare our minds. And if all that junk is in our minds, we're not being in a sober spirit.
That's right.
We got to prepare our minds. Keep sober in spirit. Get the junk out. Kick it out. Believe God when we pray. Psalms 101:3. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. Watch what we're looking at. When we see something ain't right, we need to turn and go the other way. We need to go the other way. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If all that other stuff is in our minds, we won't know what the will of God is. Just like Kenneth E. Hagin's past minister friend. The will of God was for him to be healed.
That's right.
But he believed a lie. He believed a lie. Glory to God. Colossians 3 and 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. We'll get depressed. It would depress us if we set our mind on things on this earth.
Right.
We got to set our minds on things above, on heaven, those streets of gold, those beautiful flowers that we have never even seen before, color so vibrant that we've never seen. Yes, the aromas that we've never smelt before. Set our mind on things above. Romans 8, 5 through 7. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Glory. My last scripture, and I'm about to come to a close, is Philippians 4 and 8. This is a great scripture to repeat to ourselves, to get into thinking on the things of God. When we feel those things coming, there's plenty of scriptures in there, and I've just given a few here, and then this one. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things.
Amen.
So when we pray and we're praying God's word and believing God at his word and trusting God to do his word, don't allow the enemy to come in and bring these thoughts. Think on these things. Think back when. God, I remember when you did this, and I know you're going to do that. Lord, I remember when you healed me with this. Lord, I remember when you came through when I needed a financial blessing. Lord, I remember this. I remember that. What was it? They were building the rocks with things that a wall or some type of wall that with the rocks of thing when God had done for them. I can't remember. Maybe it was the children of Israel. I can't remember. Yes, and we're building the wall with things that representing when God did things for them. Yes, the stones of remembrance. Thank you, Pastor. Do that. If you got to physically do it, fine, get you some rocks. Get you some rocks, write on them, or whatever. Build you a wall to remember. God is for us, and he's not against us. He wants us to have every promise he has said in his word. He wants us to be healed and whole. We just have to receive it and believe it. Let's control what is trying to invade our thought life. Think on the things of God. His word has already stated what is going on in the world, and it's right. Wars, rumors of wars. I mean, that's what's going on. Flooding here, flooding there, hurricanes, tornadoes. His word has said it. Let's not permit a mental picture of failure or anything that is not of God to remain in our thoughts. And this is something that Kenneth E. Hagin stated in his book that I've been teaching from, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. We have won. We are strong in the Lord.
Yes.
Don't be moved by what we see, but only be moved by the word of God. Start singing and praising when those thoughts come in. The enemy will leave. Remember, what are we allowing? What are we tolerating? What are we putting up with in our thought process, in our thoughts? Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.